In this episode of The Coach's Trail, Schmitty and Sardog talk about play or playfulness and how that is a vital aspect of our humanity. Also explored is the notion of excellence in work and how it manifests in capacity, time management, support on the trail, and purpose. So stick around and let's get started. Welcome, everybody, to The Coach's Trail. I'm going to make a song. It's season 2, episode 5. I'm Sardog. And Mr. Schmitty Schmidt is making a little bebop over here. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great, man. I love beatboxing in my car when I'm driving around. Clear the head.
And in the shower.
Yeah. Sing in the shower. Dance and sing like nobody's looking. No, so, I'm feeling good and grateful. Glad to be here.
Yeah. What are you grateful for today?
That I got to play a little bit this week. You know, I was, we were talking about that a little bit beforehand, and that I've had a couple of good laughs, with family and play. I know we're going to drill into that, but yeah, I'm glad you asked me that question because it's that moment to pause and really think about that. Yeah. Thank you. Yourself.
I'm looking at it right now. People can't see us, but I can see you and your handsome mug. This guy looks like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo because his beard, his beard and his hair is like all over the place. And I'm a little bit envious. I've got hair envy because on this, I'm clean shaven and I have a chrome dome. So
it's the yin and the yang over here for sure in the mystery machine.
So. Yeah, man. So just grateful for you to answer your question. Grateful for our connection. And I really love being on the line with you. And we're going to jump into Coach's Calibration because we did a little bit of that before we push play. And our question is this week, like, what has brought you some levity, you know, in the world of seriousness and forward motion and sometimes gerbil wieldness? You know, we need some of that levity to offset it, right? And you might call it play or humor or whatever, but is there something that caught you this week and what was that?
Oh, yeah, man. I was telling you before, and my wife was having a professional development day at the high school, and they had all, it was on Zoom, first of all. So we know people out there, right? Little Zoom fatigue, if you've been on the screen too much. So I don't think, you know, it was 8 a.m. They were going to have a full workshop day. They weren't necessarily looking forward to it. It's just a lot. But they started out the workshop with like 30 minutes of a comedian. The guy's name was, I think it was Justin McKinney. I'm sorry if I messed that up, Justin, but he was great. He's like a New England comedian circuit guy. I mean, he's done some stuff at the national level, but he's just hops on and jumps right into, oh, he's homeschooling his kid as well. And I am not a comedian, so I can't think of all the little lines he was throwing out, but it was just, they were laughing right out of the gate. And it just changed the tone of the day. What about you? You had some stuff you were laughing at.
Yeah, and it's a little bit irreverent, but you know, I came across this video someone posted, and it was all about putting the pie in the face. And a lot of you out there might have either done that or thought of doing that at some point in your life, and I sure have. I've done it actually, and had it done to me, and it was just, you know. On the one hand, it's not cool. It's a stranger just pieing someone in the face at random moments. But the reactions that people have at face value, pun intended, it's hysterical. It brought me to tears. And just thinking about it now, I go well up in laughter, you know?
Well, it reminded me of the game. I mean, that's probably why that game did so well. Pie face. You know, you twisted a little knob and then, you know, it gets them. But you know what I had forgotten about when we were talking earlier was that my daughters did a school talent show a couple years back. And you know, these things, they range in how much talent is actually there, but it's cute because when it's your kid, you're like, yeah, it's this beautiful moment. But one of the showstoppers was these two kids got up there. It was a brother and sister, and they were doing kind of like a little clown bit. And then they both had these big whipped cream pies, and everything had been totally cleaned to linen. And you could see the teachers like, no, don't do this. It's going to make a huge mess for all the next acts. And boom, just double pies in his sister's face. The shaving cream went everywhere. It's like it took him 30 minutes to clean it up. But I just like was dying laughing because it was like you were just that little kid and you was like, do it.
And they did it.
They did it.
Well, another thing that happened this week is my daughter and I, she's 12, and we just make these funny videos and then we watch them. And she puts effects to them and all this kind of stuff. It is hysterical. This one where you can put your face on their face. And so we're doing this like rap together and it's just really silly, but watching it back, it brought us to tears. Like, and we watch it probably 10 times in a row, like completely just losing our minds.
It is. It's a dream, right? Those are fun times. And I think we can all use a little bit more of that right now. So yeah, that's awesome. That's the challenge. Do something silly, something fun. Get out there and play, folks.
Get out there and play. So we're going to go to the sofa. We're going to go over to the big sofa with Schmitty Schmidt and make a noise over there. What's on the big sofa today, bud?
Big sofa. Good question. I know I was throwing a couple things around, and I think it was in line with play. It was in line with getting activated, and like I'd gone out with my buddy, my neighbor, actually Sparky. And I mean, if there's anybody to get activated with, it's with a guy named Sparky Von Plinsky. True story, folks. Just the name. He knows we're not laughing at him. He'll get a chuckle out of this. But great guy, actually. Actually, somebody, one of those relationships that's really a trusted friend, somebody you can really go hang out with. He puts bonfires on. We go sit around the fire. But the other day we go out and we get into a soccer PK shootout. And like I was saying, it was back to like the Sandlot days. And like, you know, I coach now and I don't play much. And so to do something dynamic like this was certainly a tax on the body, but it was awesome. You know, it dropped back into all those memories of when I did play, him and I were competing, and then just little conversations afterwards, you know, kind of back in the locker room, you're outside, you know, just jamming on what was fun about it. And it just reminded me like, oh yeah, when you engage in stuff that way, it takes you one, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, out of the head and gets you right into the body. But it also just gets all that like runner's high, that endorphins, all those chemicals going. And it's special. So, and I hadn't had a lot of that play in a while. So thanks to Sparky and, you know, that piece.
I love it. I love our theme, man. I love that you're, you know, how's your body after that?
It was actually good. That's what I was saying to myself. I think sometimes sitting around on my actual sofa, not the big sofa, right? You know, it's the days are busy and full and things can be tight. It's getting a little colder. And, you know, it actually loosened me up and it was like, yeah, I can actually do way more than I'm giving myself credit for most days, and kind of woke me up a little bit, actually. And it reminds me, I was going to tell you, that was the little equation I saw after the fact, right? From a fairly intelligent person, Einstein. I don't know if this is what he would have plugged into the equation, but there was this reporter one time that had asked Einstein, you know, can you, you know, tell me what success is? And of course, Einstein goes to an equation and is like, well, if A equals success, you know, then A equals X plus Y plus Z. And he's like, okay. And he's like, X stands for work, Y is for play, and then Z is keep your mouth shut, is actually what he said, right? And it's like, and it really struck me because it was like, oh, we talk a lot on here about our work or about, you know, dealing with stress and work. And then we talk a lot about mindfulness. And it was like that play piece in the middle. It was a little gap in my equation.
Love that. Yeah. And play, we know play, humor and play, they facilitate learning. They facilitate, like you said, endorphins. It's the offset to a lot of the intellectual inner head kind of activity that happens, right? So, and we get that, you know, we achieve that in deep sleep too. Our brain kind of shuts down a little bit, and play and humor do that as well, which is great. So we're going to go over to the stress shop, you know, and our theme today is, you know, excellence in our vocation, right? And a lot of you out there listening to this have jobs. Maybe you're at college, but you're also working, or you've just left college and you're trying to find your career. And Schmitty and I are now knee deep in our muck boots and our careers. We've got our waders on and it's up to the waist. And so, you know, but stress happens, right? So that's what we do, is we have the stress shop portion that we created. And for me this week, the stress, I have a drumming business. People know that I'm a professional drummer as well as a coach and a faculty. And I have this fledgling drumming business where I'm doing online lessons and recording high quality 5 to 10 minutes for sale. And so that's been going great. But my big barrier, my big stressor in my life is technology. Mm-hmm. And so it came to a head a couple of days ago on Monday where I was feeling really stuck. You know, it's like my videos are on Vimeo, but then someone told me about Kajabi and I've got MailChimp and I've got all these friggin' platforms. And I don't roll like that. It's like, point the camera and I'll be good. I'll wing it. I'll say something. I'll play something. It'll come out really good, polished and, you know, maybe funny. I don't know. But, you know, I'm not afraid of that. It's the back end technological things that really get me triggered, I guess. And I was particularly frustrated Monday for probably an hour or two trying to figure some stuff out on my own. You know, what I did, so this is what we do. The stress shop is realizing you're stressed out and then figuring out something to do that's productive. So in a stroke of genius, I don't know why it hit me, I brought it to my class. So I went to my class and, you know, my 18-year-olds, I said, listen, Jeff's got a problem and I need your help. Will you all coach me? So we unpacked it and we unpacked coaching, like what listening is. And I had the whole class coach me on this thing for like 20 minutes.
Well, you figure if you bring it in front of, you know, college age students, there are going to be probably some technology gurus in there, right?
Well, yeah. And I told them, here's the thing, though. You can't give me advice.
Oh.
I said, you are very technologically sound, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for someone to just listen to me and help me figure it out without giving me advice. Can you do that? And so we did this practice.
Is it tricky as humans to do, to listen without giving advice? It's kind of wired in, right?
It was an awesome double entendre because I got the coaching, but then we also learned about coaching while we were doing it, right?
Cool, man.
So here's the outcome, though. That 20 minutes was so powerful that I ended up calling my filmmaker, and the next morning got on a call with him, a Zoom call, and it's like the dam broke. Like I unlocked that stuck energy, and it was all because my class, you know, would I have come to that myself? Maybe. But my point is, in the stress shop, I was stressed out to some degree. And I said, what can I do with this instead of piss and moan and, you know, avoid it or procrastinate? How can I get my needs met? Boom, brought it to the stress shop. They kicked my butt and I turned that into ash and action.
I love it, man. It makes me think about, well, two things. One, I mean, it's that piece of courage where you have to be vulnerable, you know, or be willing to look at things in a different way and, you know, be curious and lean into stuff, face those things. And the fact that you did that with them, I just think it's so valuable both ways for them to see that. I was going to also say, though, because working with college students, which I do, you know, all the time, the last 3 weeks, it has been intense for multiple reasons, but mainly because we just were in that midterm kind of point in the semester. And one of the biggest things, especially when students were coming in that were stuck either in one class, multiple classes, outside the classroom, you know, that word stuck was critical. And it was interesting that when we would talk about stuff in that similar way, kind of in a judgment-free space, and there was no expectation to complete anything right then, the way we would talk about it is like, okay, so we're getting more clear about where you're at right now, you know? And then two was, okay, we're feeling a little less stuck. So these two steps of getting clear and then getting unstuck, just the energy that came from that, and then picking a step. Okay, no, now what do we want to do? But it was amazing to kind of at the end of the session with them to go back through and say, hey, we figure you might get not clear and you might get stuck again within the next week. So if you got to revisit this stuff, you know, that's going to help keep you on track.
That's beautiful. And, you know, it's a great segue into our main theme today is excellence in work, because I think we may have a romanticized notion that, you know, we'll find our career and everything's going to be hunky-dory, right? We realize that we get into our work, our jobs, and we had Bailey on and he's like, holy moly, I didn't realize this was going to be so overwhelming. And you asked me this week for some coaching, actually. So you brought it to me. You said, hey, I'm having a challenge at work. Can I get some coaching on this? I'm like, yeah, let's do a half an hour call.
Well, I love, like you were saying with Bailey, because he was jamming on, what's the musical? Why am I Hamilton? I was spacing on that, but, you know, not giving away my shot, you know, and there's this aspirational side of like, we're climbing the ladder. We're going to figure out what we're going to do. Right. So, and that's just one side of the vocation and work. And it's like, but then there's these other times it's like, I think it's the Covey in one of the Covey books, Stephen Covey, right? Is my ladder even on the right wall? You know, where am I going with this? And, but yes, you certainly helped me kind of take a peek at my ladder and figure out how things were going. Cause I felt like I was kind of stuck on one of the bottom rungs.
Well, yeah. And you're such a passionate guy. And so am I. And we hope that the listeners out there find a career that they really want to do. And it's a challenge, right? So that's what we do is we try to climb the ladder. We try to focus and, you know, get the skills and make the connections and climb that ladder and just make more money and get more up the food chain, whatever, reach more people if you have a business or whatever it is. But on the other side is like, well, what capacity do we have to actually do the work? You know, what do we need when we're feeling stressed out? You know, who do I go to? Who's on my trail? My manager, my best friend, my mom, a coach, Schmitty, you know, and just kind of figuring that out, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'll take it back because what's coming up for me specifically related to kind of the problem I brought to you, you know, is that prior to that, it's kind of like what you said, where you were kind of like, oh, I could kind of piss and moan or complain or have that negative self-talk about, because you're not really identifying like, what am I really stressed about? What is really, and maybe we don't know. Maybe there's, because there's so many things, and maybe I am talking to my mom and my neighbor, you know, Sparky, and then a friend, and like just kind of dealing with some general stress, but not realizing, you know what? The lion's share, like the majority of the stress is coming from, oh, I am doing, just like I talked about this caseload with working with students, you know, I'm doing a great job. There's a lot of excellence happening at that individual level, you know, kind of the tactics and the techniques there. But if I'm doing 50 of those over the course of 2 weeks, and when those are closed, what's the follow-up look like? Where, you know, are they okay after the fact? Like we said, if they're getting stuck again or not clear, who's then connecting with them after the fact? Did they actually get to tutoring? Have they met with their advisor yet and registered for next semester? We know some students that might be struggling with that, right? And so all that's going on. And it's like, wait a second. And I can talk to my boss. Certainly, she's great about that stuff. But it's like, I didn't quite have it identified. So that's what I brought to you. It's like, hey, man, can you help me clarify?
Well, you know, yeah, absolutely. And we get into these things and we take more on sometimes, or we're asked to do more with, in today's climate, especially in the colleges with more constrained budgets, you know, layoffs and cuts, and we're asked to do more. And so our capacity doesn't change, but the workload changes. And so how do we navigate that world? And that's what you and I were talking about. And I assess that myself sometimes, you know, it's like sometimes I'll actually refuse a potential client because I'm like totally full and I know where my sweet spot is. It's like working with maybe 12 companies at a time. You know, if I'm working with 20 companies at a time, it's not sustainable and I'm not going to actually be able to do a good job at really some of those, you know? And so that's where we came up in our session with you is like some criteria is like, how can I identify highest leverage, knowing I can only get to 50 out of 70 students or something a month, you know, and just kind of figuring that out.
Oh, I think, yeah, it was multifold was the nice thing is one, my own personal capacity. What does that look like? And it's almost like time management. You're like, in this week, there's only what, 168 hours? Like, I haven't played that game in a while, but I know that's a game I played before, right? Like, I've got to sleep. That's going to take up a certain amount of time. I've got to eat and, you know, hygiene, right? I got family time. So, right at the end of the day, then you minus all that out and you only got a little bit left. That's capacity, right? And the same holds true at my work. If I'm here 8 to 10 hours a day, right? Put lunch in there and it's like, okay, how many hours can I actually be meeting with students? And I hadn't played that game in a while either. And so, not knowing that, let alone on the other side, when we kind of talk the more strategic pieces and of all these students, what are the different kind of things and ways? Because it's not always just meeting with student A and it's, you know, going to be this particular kind of outcome. You know, it's typically not linear. That's, you know, one of my strengths is kind of working in the gray zone. However, when it gets too gray, it's murky. So, yeah, both of those were helpful that you helped me kind of tease those apart.
Yeah. So, you know, when you think about excellence in vocation and work, you know, how, for the listeners, you know, is there a question that we can kind of self-assess at sometimes? It's like, even like, just taking stock, like, how am I doing? Even something as general like that, just kind of reflecting, going back to the mindfulness, right? It's like, how am I doing with my work? Like, what am I really feeling on purpose? Am I stressed out? If I am, like, what am I stressed about? And then who are those people that can help me? Or maybe everything's great right now, and what's next might be the question. What skill do I need, or training? You know, like, I'm just wondering, you know, with our listeners, like, how we can help them.
Well, in that case, I mean, there's two things that came up for me there. In that case, I do think it's like, am I clear on what's going on right now, either well or challenging? You know, and in this case, it was like, am I clear on my capacity? Because I think that's really important, right? Like we say, we're human. So we only got so much energy, so much time that we can actually give. And so where I was more focused on my performance. So, you know, which I'll tend to do, right? Like, oh, how am I doing with these students, or how are they doing? So like you're saying, right? Like, how are you doing? If I keep it general, that might keep me unclear, versus say, oh, I'm specifically need to pay attention to capacity, because then I can be more skillful and I can serve them better. Mm. So that might be a question, you know, for, you know, am I clear on my capacity? Is one direction. Another one is that I think is helpful for students and me is like thinking about meaningful work. You know, I think sometimes we get stuck because we're like, oh, because you said the word purposeful. And like, so it might be that I'm not clear on like, is this, you know, is this just not really feeling like I'm passionate about this, or is it meaningful? So saying, is this meaningful? What is meaningful for me? How is this serving? You know, because if you look at the other side of what I just said, I'd kind of really deeply looked into that. So I feel like I was being skillful and I was serving the students well, but just too much. So that's another
great.
Yeah.
That's great. And, you know, maybe what we can do is come up with some questions. So when we post this podcast, we can have some 4, 5, 6, 10 questions that people can maybe, ask periodically. And I love that question. It's like, is my work actually meaningful? Because we all need a job unless you're independently wealthy. But, you know, and it took me, I mean, I didn't trip into coaching until I was like 30 or 31. You know, I spent my 20s doing odd jobs, and that really wasn't fun. You know, yeah, I was drumming on the side and doing that. That was fun. But like working at a lumber yard and, you know, driving a limo and just trying to figure my stuff out. And then coaching happened. I'm like, oh my God, I can actually make money doing what I love.
That's awesome. Oh yeah. No, I think, right. Exploring that, you know, and seeing those pathways too, right? Where do my skills line up with, you know, kind of a career opportunity? And then what's beautiful, and some of the people we've been bringing on, is those folks who are so talented in drumming that works out, right? Like where a side hustle becomes the main gig, you know, and there's just so many ways you can take it. But one other question I did want to throw out to the listeners, and that, you know, we can kind of put on this list, was who am I going to talk to about this? Because I know I talked to both you and my boss, but they were different conversations and both were helpful. And where I see students get in trouble sometimes, like let's say it's their professor, or if you're just an emerging, you know, professional and your boss, you might not have clarified what you're trying to get at. So that conversation with your boss might either A, be a little bit intimidating, or two, you might be coming at it from a bad angle because you haven't gotten clear. And so I think that could be super helpful. It still is for me, like you said, way past the, you know, the river here.
I love that. And I can't tell you how many students, even though I say, hey, come to Jeff, come to me if you're stressed out about something, I can be that guy to help you. A lot of them still don't take it up. And when they do, they tell me like, yeah, I just didn't want to bother you. And, you know, even though I made it explicit, and a lot of managers aren't making it explicit that, hey, I'm here for you. You know, it's like, hey, sink or swim, good luck. And if you swim, then you've got some problems, you know? I love that. I love that. Who can you talk to? And, we'll put that list together.
Love it. Yeah. I think that's it, man. And just a quick appreciation for you helping be one of those people I could talk to. And you know, like, and to my boss as well, Casey, she's great with this stuff and she is very available, but both of our capacities are pretty stretched some days. So anyway, yeah, thank you.
Thank you, buddy. And as always, appreciate this episode 5. Can't wait. We're going to have episode 6 next week. We're going to have Leanne on, and that's going to be fun. Then we're going to cap the season off with Sarah Pelkey out in Las Vegas. And that's going to be the end of our season. So just happy to be on with you.
It's going to be grand. And go out there, folks, work, play, and shut your mouth.
Peace.
See you.